Welcome to episode 4 of Is Anybody Listening? We are your hosts. I'm Carrie Hooper.
I'm Cleo.
And tonight's episode is about the Rockin' Tours.
Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about this one, as I've been a huge fan of theirs for a long, long time. So, yeah, should we just dive in, or do you have anything you want to say before we get started?
No, we should just dive right into it.
So, the Rockin' Tours. Made up of 4 members. Jack White, who is the guitar and vocals, and he's most known for the White Stripes fame. Brendan Benson is guitar and vocals as well. He's more of a solo artist. Jack Lawrence plays bass guitar, and Patrick Keller, he's drums, and both were originally from a band called the Greenhorns.
What's Jack Lawrence from? Do you know?
He and Patrick Keller are from the Greenhorns.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, later on they do... they'll go into more things, but yeah. I just thought off the top, starting from 2005, this is what they're most known for.
Right.
So the Rockin' Tours are an interesting lineup because every member is connected to one another through various other musical groups. So, for instance, in 2003, Jack White did backup vocals for Benson's cover of Paul McCartney's song, Let Me Roll With It. And then Lawrence and Keller were in the lineup known as the Dewwaters for Loretta Lynn's album Van Leer Rose, which was produced by White. And White was actually in that lineup as well.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and they did tours together. And they actually wore these really cute little, like Western sort of outfits with lots of tassels. And
yeah.
It's pretty cute. And then Benson and Keller's connection is Benson's had Keller drum in a few of his solo albums. So sort of the origin of this band is, according to an interview that the band did with Pete Townsend in 2006, this is Jack White's quote, "We all just sort of knew each other from Detroit and touring and then Lynn's album. That was really the final step of us getting together." But I've also read from their website and from their wiki page that White and Benson got the band started with the creation of the song Steady As She Goes. Mm-hmm. So Benson was doing the instrumental for a song that he had come up with, couldn't crack the lyrics, so he gets in touch with White.
Yeah.
And White comes up with the lyrics, and blam, they've got the song. Excuse me. Steady As She Goes. And then because they already know Lawrence and Keller from the Greenhorns, they ask them to join in, and then the album Broken Boy Soldiers was created. According to their wiki page, Steady As She Goes was recorded in Benson's attic, but from interviews of the band, they've said that the whole album was recorded in his attic.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's really disgusting.
Yeah, it was super hot.
Yeah, that just seems super hot, really uncomfortable. I just think of it as like a windowless, sort of airless,
yeah,
the anti-creativity situation. But
weren't you telling me there was like a video where one of the guys is like wiping the sweat off of his face?
Right. So yeah, that's in that Pete Townsend interview where they talk about sort of the origin story of their band.
Right.
Excuse me. So the band released the single Steady As She Goes and Strobot Bones together. They then started touring the UK and America, and this was even before they put out their full album.
Mm-hmm.
So not a lot of bands can release a single and then go on to play sold-out shows, but they still insist that they are not any kind of a supergroup.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
But they are.
Yeah, they totally are.
Yeah.
So there was this really, another really cringy interview from Australia, and this guy is interviewing the Rockin' Tours, and he's saying, I know y'all don't like the super group, so should I say collaboration? And they're just like, just call us a band. And it's like, well, yeah, but you're all known from all these different... I felt really bad for the interviewer.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, there's just no other bands that don't already have notoriety could possibly sell out shows in the UK
mm-hmm.
and America. So Broken Boy Soldiers was released through Jack White's record company, the Third Man Records, and the British independent record label XL Recordings.
And that was the first album?
That's their first album,
mm-hmm.
Broken Boy Soldier. And XL Recordings is actually pretty interesting. They have FKA Twigs and Adele. They've done some pretty heavy hitters.
And that's Jack White's record label, right?
Third Man Records.
That's his, right?
Yeah, Third Man Recordings, yeah. And then the British one is the XL Recordings.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So it entered the UK charts at number 2 and the US charts at number 7. The album had tons of glowing critic reviews. While they were touring in the States, they opened up for Bob Dylan for 8 shows. I also wanted to mention the cover, the album cover of this. I couldn't find anywhere who took the picture, mm-hmm. but the reason why I picked it up and I bought it was because it's a picture of them and they'll have bruises and cuts all over their faces.
Oh.
And whether or not that's supposed to be like a literal Broken Boy Soldiers interpretation of it, I've just never really seen a cover like that, because it's supposed to be this kind of like polished photo of all of them, but they're all beaten and bruised.
Yeah.
And I really love that. And it was really just why I, aside from already knowing Jack White and being obsessed with like the White Stripes when I was growing up, that's why I picked that album up.
Yeah.
So for the song tracks, they've got City As She Goes as the first one. And I thought it was really interesting that the lyrics to this song are super bleak and really apathetic about relationships, but the dude got married within the same year, like months apart.
Oh wait, with Steady As She Goes?
Yeah.
Wait, who did he get married to?
He married this supermodel called Karen Elson.
Oh.
They met on the set of, it's a song from Get Behind Me, Satan, Blue Orchid.
Right.
So she was a person in the music video for Blue Orchid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they met. So they did this recording in, I think it was July or June, and then September in 2005, he gets married. So I just thought it's like, oh, do you really have these terrible feelings about relationships if you're obviously in love? And
yeah.
But, you know, whatever. So then the song Hands, which I find very boring. And Broken Boy Soldier, I find their self-titled song.
Yeah.
So good. And I love all the horn instruments. It's such a cool song. Intimate Secretary, the song Together is really slow. I don't particularly like it.
Wait, Hands, is that the song that's sung by Benson?
Yes.
Yes. No, yeah, I can tell by your notes. Yeah, so you say you think it sounds a little bit like Zeppelin, and that's what I was hearing today, too, when we heard it while we were driving around. I was like, really heard the Zeppelin vibes in the vocals.
Yeah, some of their songs definitely have that Zeppelin vibe.
Yeah, and it's cool how they ranked, what was it they got for country? Was it a Grammy? Is that what you said?
No, for their second album, they got nominated for a Country Music Award.
Right.
But not for their first one.
Wait, is Grammy movies?
Grammy is music because
it is music
because the gramophone. So
who's the musician here?
You know, I mean, we all have off days. It's fine. To be honest, it took me like 10 years to figure that out. I was like, why is it called a Grammy?
Man,
what's the whole deal with the statue?
I just suck at paying attention to pop culture.
Sure, you could blame it on that.
Yeah, it's an excuse, isn't it?
And then they've got the song Level, and that's probably their second most, I'd say, popular song off of this album. My baby's on the level.
Mm-hmm.
That song. Mm-hmm. It's really good, fun, it's short, it's got the in it.
Yeah.
Store Bought Bones is great. I love that it's got an organ in it.
Right.
And it's also, Jack White has said that the instrumental to this was supposed to be a part of a song from Get Behind Me, Satan, for the White Stripes, but he scrapped it and then put it into this album.
So this album's called Broken Boy Soldier, right?
Yes, yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And then Yellow Sun, which I don't like. Call It A Day is a terrible song. I think it's probably one of the worst songs ever, not just for the raconteurs. I just mean ever. It's monotoned. It sounds like somebody just complaining for 2 minutes. It's the worst. And then Blue Veins is a pretty nice song. And here's our Josh Homme insert.
Ooh.
We can't ever not talk about him for some reason.
Because he's the best.
So in 2019, just after they had released their newest album, Help a Stranger, Raconteurs played a show in LA at The Greek, and Josh Homme came in and played for about 9 minutes. They played on the song Blue Veins.
Mm-hmm.
And some wonderful person snuck in their cell phone and caught video of it, even though they weren't supposed to. But, you know, it's like little treasures like that where you get to peek into a world that you never would have known about.
Mm-hmm.
You
know what's funny about, like, musicians my age and under, and, like, any project from now and after? The likelihood of them banning phones is so low because they're trying so hard to get the social media attention.
Yeah.
It's so different now.
I think it's more of a, just based on some of the interviews from Jack White, I think it's more of a, it's like he's initiating this thing where it's like,
yeah.
You know, we have to have it stripped down and, you know, no cell phones or whatever to make it more of like an intimate experience.
You know, Joe Rogan does that at his comedy shows too.
No cell phones?
No cell phones. You have to put them in this little bag. And there's, like, some kind of a digital lock or something on the bag, and you can't get to your phone until the show's over.
But that, see, here's the thing, the difference between comedians and musicians. When you're a working comedian, you are workshopping a lot of your shit.
It's different.
So it's so different. So, like, say a comedian says a joke, and it's comes off as, like, fucking racist or whatever somebody may interpret it as. And they get such a bad review in that show.
Because crossing the line of being offensive, that's part of being a comedian.
Also, so, a joke doesn't fly.
Right, it's terrible anyways. And, so that's kind of, being a comedian, you're always working in this murky water of offensive, too far, not far enough. And the only way to test it is to go out and workshop it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but now everybody has a cell phone, so it's like, say you have a particularly bad show, it goes terrible, it gets uploaded, and you look like a fool.
Yes.
Or an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes being an asshole will get you more attention than looking like a fool.
Logan Paul.
So, Broken Boy Soldier has been nominated for 2 Grammys, one for Best Rock Album, and one for Best Rock Performance. And they lost to...
The Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Boo!
For both.
Boo!
I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but they're...
I don't. I do not.
They're more prolific than any of Jack White's stuff, but...
You mean they keep making music, but... and they should have stopped 15 years ago. Just because you keep doing something doesn't mean you should.
Well, obviously people are enjoying it, and they have their audience. We're not it, but... Yeah.
So, I don't like them.
Sorry, RHCP.
So, just watching interviews from the band in 2006, their chemistry in the beginning was something to be desired. Mm-hmm. Very cringy.
Kind of introverted to the point where the interviews seem kind of hard.
Yeah, like... The interviewer is really struggling to get any kind of real answer. Like, a lot of, like, pauses.
Yeah.
Awkward jokes. Just... But it's interesting because their interviews are so terrible because they seem like they have no, like, vibe. They have no...
Mm-hmm.
There's no togetherness with them. Or, like, you know, one solitary voice. But their music is so awesome together.
Right.
And for an album to just sort of seemingly come together as it did, and their interviews in the beginning to be so terrible, I just always found that to be pretty interesting. There is that interview with Pete Townsend I mentioned earlier, which was slightly better. The only problem with this interview was it was about 14, 15 minutes long. And the first 2 minutes they talk about the Raconteurs, they talk about how they made everything in an attic, and how the band sort of came together. Then they talk about Pete Townsend's mentality and how he based his songs on mentally challenged people for about 12 minutes. He just goes on a talk for about 12 minutes. And then the remaining few, they just sing the Who song, The Seeker.
Right.
So that was really all I could find from the band from 2006.
Yeah, you'll find the most awkward senses of humor in rock and roll.
Yeah, but I think for them in particular, it was It was on another level.
Right.
So, obviously,
kind of embarrassing,
as they
maybe,
came
yeah.
together as a band, the years that passed, they got better and better at interviews. I mean, maybe that's all it was, too.
Yeah.
They suddenly got all this attention because mm-hmm. they were so great, and maybe they just didn't know how to...
I can honestly say that if I started a band now, and in a few months, you know, some huge media conglomerate was interviewing me, I would be pretty nervous. You know, it would take years for me to get good at dealing with that. So,
I mean, I can do an interview, and it's really not trying to poke fun at them by saying that. It's just, it's weird because...
No, I'm not arguing with you or yeah. anything. I'm just looking at it from their point of view as well.
Oh, I'm sure it was really yeah. awkward.
Yes.
And also, a lot of these interviews seem to be in the middle of summer. So
when nobody can think.
And they're all in pants and dressed in black.
Oh,
I mean,
my
that
God.
Can't be comfortable. So I just wanted to mention Dean Fertitta, or... I actually don't know how to pronounce his last name. But he's been a touring member of the Rock and Tour since 2006, and he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in Queens of the Stone Age, The Dead Weather. He was in Iggy Pop, Waxwings, Eagle of Death Metal,
oh my God.
Beck, and so many other groups. And I think we should do a podcast on him because
mm-hmm.
he just seems like such a cool guy.
Yeah, he's in a lot of the projects related to Queens of the Stone Age and other stuff that we like. And what's cool is... Josh Homme played with Iggy Pop on his...
Yeah, they were all toured together.
Recent album, yeah, exactly.
So, and also, he's gone through some real hair changes. I would say most recently the best.
Who, the Dean guy?
Yeah, yeah, he's had some real questionable looks, that's for sure.
I know what that's like.
Me too. okay, so moving on to 2008. So the Rock and Tours release Consolers of the Lonely... So this album was released with no prior promotion.
Yeah.
And then I put in a silly joke. Sorry, Beyonce. Rockin' Tours did it first.
Oh, I see.
Because obviously in 2013, she dropped her album and then with no promotion.
No promotion. Yeah.
And then it was like suddenly we had it. So the album received many positive reviews with a few exceptions. And one in particular I thought was hilarious. I looked into this publication a little bit. They seem to be a little right-winged. So it's called the Austin America Statesman, and their quote is, "It's a weirdly overblown and curiously dull album." And when I listen to Consolers of the Lonely, dull is probably the last descriptor I would have for that album. I just thought it was so funny. I don't know.
When they said dull, they probably meant it doesn't talk about Jesus.
I mean, they're not... Oh, yeah.
Overly
I mean,
religious?
Still. I just thought it was interesting. So, Consolers debuted at number 7 on the US charts and at number 8 on the UK charts. This is the album I like the most out of all three. To me, it has the most hits, the best singing...
Mm-hmm.
So the tracks are Consolers of the Lonely, and this is a great song about tour life. At least that's what I assume it's about. That's my interpretation of it, but I think
right.
it's pretty obvious about how...
So this is their third album?
No, this is their second
album. Second album.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just feel like there's so many indicators on that song that it's about touring.
Mm-hmm.
Then Salute Your Solution, it's super fast. It's on so many... movie soundtracks. It's the only one that I feel like I can't sing out loud confidently to because I can't get all the words strung together in the
right.
way because they sing so quickly. You Don't Understand Me, sort of a slow song, but really beautiful piano.
Yeah.
So Old Enough, this is such a great song. So many instruments involved. I feel like the production value on it is outstanding. And the lyrics, it sounds like it's such a happy, uplifting song, but the lyrics are actually pretty mean. It just sounds like they are waiting for somebody who sort of floated through life to crash and burn.
Right.
And this is what they were nominated for the Country Music Award.
Was that song?
Was that song.
Okay.
And they showed up at the Music Awards, and they're wearing all their little country gear. It's
mm-hmm.
pretty cute. Switching the Spur... great trumpet sound. This is one of a few story songs that they have where it's kind of like talk singing. and they really play out a song, like, mm-hmm. A story. Hold Up is okay. Top Yourself is probably one of my all-time favorite songs. It's super vindictive, I guess, and really mean, and I would love to know who this song is about.
Mm.
It's just...
Yeah, usually something like that is a relationship.
Yeah, and I want to know who. Because this came out in 2008, and he didn't get a divorce till 2011. And
wait, 2011, that must have been the model.
Yeah.
So no. He's been married and divorced twice?
No. Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. So he married Meg. But they also said that they were brother and sister for a long time. Yeah, so I don't really count that one as a real one.
No, but they were actually married.
Yeah.
They only said that publicly to take the media's attention away from the marriage, so it wouldn't take away from the music.
Yes.
So they literally were married and divorced.
Yes.
And then they kept making music after they divorced.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
I know. Well,
yeah.
Goes to show Meg's patience.
Always about the women. With you. You fucking feminist.
It's not untrue. So he was still married to the same wife. I don't know who this song is about. It could have been about somebody, I don't know, but it... from a long time ago, but it's a really great song.
Yeah.
Many Shades of Black is my second favorite song on this album, and it's really because Brendan's singing is just soothing. Mm-hmm. He's got such a great voice, and I didn't really know that.
Oh, yeah, this is another song we listened to.
Yeah,
yeah, it's beautiful. This one. Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, especially because the lyrics are like very clear-cut about a breakup, but that message he's delivering is just such a smooth ride, like... I could just listen to that song over and over and over again. There's 5 on 5, Attention, and then Pull This Blanket Off. That's like got another sort of story, it's a song story. And then Rich Kid Blues, and this is a great song, and I thought it was an original, but it's actually by this old musician called Terry Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google Terry Reed, and you should Google Terry Reed, he has a wide background in the music industry. I feel like whoever you can think of in the sort of rock world, he's probably worked with them.
Right.
So definitely Google Terry Reed. And his version of the song is really... it is his song. His version of his song is really great. And then These Stones Will Shout. It's a good song. And then Carolina Drama. So that's that one where Jack's like laying out this story about a guy who ends up inadvertently killing his father or whatever. It's like this really like...
It's like a story?
Yeah, it's like a real story, like a soap opera story.
Right.
It's pretty great.
Wait, well, what's the atmosphere of the song like?
Very country.
Right.
Like...
But is it Western sounding country? No.
No, probably not. Okay. Just Southern.
Yeah.
Very Southern.
Yeah.
So, again, the Raconteurs were nominated for 2 Grammys, Best Rock Album, and Best Engineer Non-Classical Album. They lost Best Album to Coldplay. But they actually won the Engineer Award. In the interviews I watched, the reason they recorded and released Consolers of the Lonely was simply because they all finally had the time to do so. All members had enough of a break to allow for a second album. Interesting, when asked about a third album, in most interviews, they say there's enough material that didn't make it onto Consolers, and all members live in the same city now, so there's really no reason not to make a third.
Yeah.
And that was 11 years ago. So there's, you know, obviously a huge gap.
Yeah, and then they came back. So the
it's okay.
Help Us Stranger is the album name too?
Yes. Help Us Stranger is the album name. Help Me Stranger
is the song name. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah. So not a lot to say so much about this one. So just reading reviews. Reading different interviews sort of gives you a different view as to why it took so many years for Helpless Stranger to be created. Way back in February 2013, Whitehead said that the band was back in the studio recording new music. Mm-hmm. But then March the following year, Benson announced that a new album was kind of off of the table. So even that many years ago, there was no certainty.
Oh, and in actually like 2010 or something, Jack White announced there was going to be a new album and then had to be like, oh, actually, we can't do it.
Oh, what a dick.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't tuned in on that one because I probably would have been pissed.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
This is a podcast. There is no interrupting.
Yeah.
So all members had different projects going on in those 10 years. For instance, White and Lawrence got together with Dean Fertitta. Apologies, because I'm pretty sure I'm not...
I don't know who that is!
You'd know him if you saw him. Got together with Dean Fertitta and Alison Mosshart. And Alison Mosshart is from The Kills. It's a UK two-piece band.
Okay.
And they made The Dead Weather, which is kind of cool. Their first album, I think, is great. They actually released three albums in the time it took the Rapid Tours to release one.
Honestly, I like The Dead Weather more than any of his other projects.
Oh, I think it's interesting.
The most original sounding and the coolest.
You know, he does the drums in that band.
Yep. What's that video with the guns? What's the name of that song?
Treat Me Like Your Mother.
God damn, that's such a cool song.
It's a very cool song.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Actually, if it wasn't for you, I probably would not have gotten that much into Jack White. And my friend Jordan, who actually listens to this podcast, comments on it, messaged me about it.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Jordy. We used to go busking together. We played so much music together. But he always raved about Jack White. And he has the same, me and him are all about, Josh Homme, Super Queens of the Stone Age. We used to play, a bunch of Queens covers on the streets and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he likes that same vein. Like, I'm sure if he listened to Royal Blood, he would like them too.
He probably would. They're very likable. Yeah, Jack White's just, I think what it is that, when I was in school, when I was in high school, I didn't fit in a lot, so new music was the thing that that was my hobby.
Yeah.
And I remember I got into the White Stripes before anyone else had heard of them. So I myself thought I was the coolest kid on the street, even though I was kind of a nerd. So I mean, I've bought, listened to all the White Stripes albums and everything Jack has done since then. So you know, there's obviously that emotional part of his music to me. Sort of linked up to when I felt like a real outsider.
Mm-hmm.
So they created The Dead Weather. And then Benson, he recorded two solo studio albums. Lawrence and Keller recorded another Greenhorns album. And then Keller was in this other band I forgot to write down. I think it was Afghan Wings. He did tours with them.
Right.
And then White released two solo albums. And then came along Help a Stranger, and it debuted at number one on the US charts.
Nice.
Yeah, and number eight on the UK charts. So, which is pretty phenomenal because they haven't had an album in 11 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. Everything he touches does pretty well.
I think, you know, when we were talking earlier about sort of like formula and timelessness mm-hmm. in music, I think whatever Jack seems to do, it has his Jack formula to it, and it's like the code that he's cracked to make good music.
You know what I think a big part of it is? Bands like Royal Blood, which I can't confirm this writing process, but for a lot of Jack White's projects and for Josh Homme's projects, a lot of the material is actually written at the jam, not behind the computer or at home.
Yeah.
And I can definitely attest to the power of that when you show up and you're with a bunch of people that you have great musical chemistry with, and you're like, let's just play. And then, so much of, you'll play for 10 minutes, and you'll be like, hey, what about that idea we came across? And then things will build off that, and then you have an entire song before you know it. Now, that in productivity versus sitting down and writing out the sheet music, or writing out the guitar tabs, programming drums, and being like, okay, now let's learn this song. You would think it's less productive to get together and jam to write music. It just depends on the kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
With rock and roll, getting together and jamming produces the coolest sounding, most like the music that hits the hardest, like in my opinion, mm-hmm. or in my experience. But when it comes to really technical music, you kind of have to, like, crazy metal and shit. You can't just, like, show up to a jam and write, like, Arxpire. You know what I mean? It's literally impossible.
Yeah.
It has to be, like, written for, like, you know, weeks and weeks.
I mean, that sounds exhausting.
Yes.
I mean, there's many reasons why I'm not a musician. Talent is one of them, but...
Well, a lot of it's just time in
time is definitely a big one as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely with music, like, I have never been an overly talented, like, I could never just shred out of the blue. I just fucking worked my ass off on music instead of school, basically, when I was really young.
Yeah, but you did well in school, too.
Yeah, but...
Double duty.
But guess what? Also, because I put the time in. Like, I have friends in high school that they could just skip school for, like, half of the year and come in, do the exams, and just crush it. Cause,
oh, I was always so envious of that.
Mm-hmm.
People who are able to do it.
Yes. And I had to work super hard just to get honors. Like, yeah, really, really hard. So.
Me too.
I'm not that smart.
Well, we're just a couple of dum-dums.
That's what it says in our description.
I know.
Oh, it turns out the reason that iTunes was not accepting our podcast is because it had some profanities in our description. And I didn't realize it.
Is dum-dums a profanity?
No, but it says fucking dum-dums.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I can see why that might be a problem.
Yeah, so we should be up on iTunes pretty soon.
Cool.
Amongst other things. Wait, where do we end off in this album?
So, I pretty much ended it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've got the song tracks. So, it starts off with Born and Raised, Help Me Stranger, Only Child, Don't Bother Me. I love Don't Bother Me, because it has that, don't bother me, bother me.
Oh, that song is dope.
That song is so great.
It's like, bother me, bother me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I read in an interview that it's about cell phones.
No way.
Yeah, so Jack White is just sick of people whipping out their cell phones. And can I take a picture of you? Can I take a picture of you?
Right,
and I think that connects back to, you know, that show that he did. When he said no cell phones and that person snuck in the cell phone for that Josh Homme jam, you know, it just goes back to that where he's more concerned that people are concerned about getting the footage rather than enjoying the experience.
Yeah.
But then also I think it's just because he's probably hassled constantly.
Yeah.
But also, could you blame people? If I saw Jack White, I'd probably pee my pants.
Right.
But I don't know if I'd ask him for a photo.
Once you're on that level of celebrity, it's just something you have to deal with.
And, okay, also, he doesn't hide himself. Yeah. Jack White looks exactly like how he wants to look.
Yeah.
He's not like Brendan Benson. He's not just like some leathery-looking dude, sort of dressed like everybody else. Mm-hmm. You can blend in with a crowd. Like, Jack White's walking around in top hats.
Yeah, exactly, with that specific hair.
Yes, very keeps dyeing it black, even though we know you're on the edge of 50. And then...
Fuck, he looks really good for his age, actually.
It looks like he hasn't aged in 20 years.
Yeah, he's been drinking baby blood this whole time.
He's just got that porcelain-looking skin.
Mm.
But have you ever seen a picture of him smiling with his teeth showing?
No. He's got bad teeth?
He's got some baby chompers.
Oh.
It looks like he did way too much meth in his teeth.
Really?
Like, yeah, like, you know, like the little half teeth?
Yeah.
It's a sight to be seen.
Really? I didn't picture... Well, I know you're not saying he did meth, but...
I don't think he did meth.
No.
I think that's just the way his... maybe that's poverty?
Yeah.
He did have 10 siblings.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean... Oh. So then moving on to
Dukes.
Moving on to Shine the Light on Me. Some days I don't feel like trying. And then they did a cover song for called Hey Jip.
Hmm.
Which I'm pretty sure is racist. I'm pretty sure that's something you're not supposed to say anymore. But whatever.
It's a cover song. Okay.
Yeah, it's a cover song, but did I write down who the cover was?
No, you did not.
No, I did not. I was, you know, was tired. Yeah. That's the problem with leaving everything to the last minute.
This is just another reason we need an audio engineer. Someone to yell at and be like, hey, who's the original writer for this song? And then they can just Google it.
Yeah, true. I mean, we both have laptops in front of us.
Yeah, you're busy with the write-up. I'm busy with the audio, you know?
We need that third man.
We need that Jamie. And I can't talk and look things up at the same time. He's the guy on Joe Rogan who, whenever...
Oh, so he's the Steven equivalent for My Favorite Murder.
He's like the producer, yeah. Okay, exactly, yeah.
Who's Jamie? Who's Jamie?
Yeah, I just lost all my subscribers when you asked that. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't really... I don't really care about Joe Rogan. That's fun. So, continuing on with this track list, Sunday Driver, which is a pretty cute song. Now That You're Gone, Live a Lie, I like that song. What's Yours Is Mine, and Thoughts and Prayers, which is a pretty awesome song title for the way that we're living now.
Yeah, also, you know, it was like a meme, because...
Yeah, pretty sure that's what it's based on.
Right, because this is a recent album.
It's 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, that's totally what it is.
So, great album. I've been listening to it for a few months. I think the only difference between this one and the first two is that I have such like a sort of excited emotional connection to it because I've been listening to those two albums.
This one's
for years.
The rock and roll dial is down a little bit on this one too. A little less.
Yeah, maybe a little.
No, it totally is. In my opinion.
But. Definitely compared to Consolers of the Lonely, for sure. Yeah,
I'm not saying it's not rock and roll, but it's a little more like 70s CCR style is in there. Like,
sure, I can see that.
Yeah, especially like Help Me Stranger, the vocal harmonies. It's so like that era, you know?
Yeah.
Like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou theme song, like that. Like, it's like country, but it's so close to rock that it's not shit.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, pull my finger.
We're not going to be that kind of podcast, are
we? It's there.
Okay, so... So, again, a great album. I love it. I listen to it frequently, but there's just not the same years. Are you laughing at yourself because you farted?
Yes.
Okay. Just not the same emotional connection as the last two. And actually, when... I heard they were coming out with a third album. I was actually a little upset because I was like, you put out two solid albums.
It's like when the last Tool album was coming out, we were like, well, do you have to?
Do you have to do it?
I get it, because when you like it so much, you don't, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, and they did it, and I'm not disappointed at all. I like the whole album. Nothing really bad to say about it. But I don't really have much to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess that's...
It is what it is.
Yeah, so that's it. Interesting take this week, because I am the one talking.
Yeah, well, you did the write-up this week. You did the research. It's one of your favorite bands instead of mine.
Yeah, true.
And it was awesome for me, because it actually made me... Well, obviously... Today and yesterday, I've been looking into the band, listening to more of their music, looking at their music videos.
Yes.
And, you know, letting rock bands into my sort of, like, rotation of music that I listen to.
It's hard, man.
It's real hard. Like, the Arctic Monkeys almost got in there, and I went, you only got, like, two songs that really
good.
Yeah,
there's not enough good ones.
Yeah, yeah. And it just, like, takes years. Like, Queens of the Stone Age, I started listening to when I was 17, and then... By the time I was 19, I was like, okay, yeah, I get it. Because I just grew up on so much metal, and that was, like, my only thing for so long.
Yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan around the same time, which is blues, not rock, but... I let set in, but... It wasn't until now, almost 10 years later, Royal Blood is on that rotation. So, two modern rock bands.
Yeah.
I like Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters, but only, like, maybe 5 or 6 of their... entire discography, like of their songs out of the
and the ones I like kind of sound the same.
Yes, the heavier ones.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, it's hard when you get stuck on it's so funny because it's like our parents, right? And then you're like, I'll never be like not into cool music when I'm that age. Like, I'll always be like interested in what's hip and new.
Yeah.
But I'm totally like my parents. Like, my dad likes the Beatles, and that's about as I don't
rock
know.
Rock as it gets.
But that's about as rock as it gets.
My mom said Led Zeppelin was a little too heavy.
Yeah, well, my dad bought that Tragically Hip album, and he's like, you didn't think your old man could rock, did you? And then he turned it on super loud, and then realized what he had actually purchased, turned it down, and then eventually off, because it was, in fact, too heavy.
And that was the end.
And we never talked about it again.
Yeah.
So, and my mom loves ABBA. I love ABBA, too, but in a different way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like, you just get stuck in these loops of the music that you like because you have that connection to it. And it's the same with my parents. They have that emotional connection to their favorites.
Man, ABBA is a weird one, eh?
Yeah.
It's like, it just really sounds like when it came from.
Well, and it's like, I think it was like around the first of its kind where it was like extraordinarily manufactured pop music.
Yeah, right.
So the person that produced it and engineered that music knew exactly what they were doing, and the end result and like the look of them, everything from beginning to end was, this will make music. People will like this. It was like, and now that's like the formula for, well, pop music is a little bit more varied now, but
yeah,
for a long time.
Well, now it's the standard for it to be completely engineered and manufactured.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I feel like that's the episode.
We probably finished it a while ago, but we were just rambling.
Yeah. You know, the best content is probably that rambling at the end, though.
Cause, well, that's what we think, but...
Fair enough. Fair enough. Maybe the farting was the best content.
That's probably the best we've ever put out.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening, guys. I love you, Jordy. And if anyone wants us to have better audio quality, because right now it's pretty fucking potato, donate $20 to paypal.me/feedthemusician. And
oh boy, it's literally on a cardboard box.
Can you stop telling them what's going on here?
I know I should. I shouldn't say that about my own place.
My girlfriend's apartment is not a cardboard box, and
no, it's just I turned this cardboard box into a cat house.
Okay, you know what? Good night.